trust God, and let the devil take the hindmost on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life with Steve Brown, a program designed to make a positive difference in your daily life. Now open your Bible and let's go to it. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to Daniel. I'm not going to spend all the time today on Daniel, but I'm going to wrap it up. Say goodbye to our old friend Daniel, and hello to our new friend, Hosea, as we continue with our Old Testament survey. And we're taking time in each of the books of the Old Testament. I'll tell you about it later on, but the staff is putting together two or three booklets that will cover this entire teaching that will be sort of like a mini commentary for you to keep in your Bible when you read the Old Testament. Because, can we talk? Christians don't read much in the Old Testament. You know, we think that God took a hacksaw and cut off that part of it and dropped it in a fire and said, "My children, it's no longer relevant." Well, it is relevant, and it's relevant to your life, with the possible exception of the prophetic sections in Daniel. As we've gone through those a couple of days last week and yesterday, and I asked Eric, I said, "Eric," he's our producer, "does that make any sense?" He said, "Yeah, that's cool. Tell me about the 70 weeks again." And I said, "What? Weren't you listening?" I explained it in great, profound detail. You ought to understand it and be able to teach it to others. And he said, "Well, it did make sense." He said, "What about that elastic part?" Well, if you were listening yesterday, I said, in Daniel 9, and that's where everybody fights about prophecy. There's 70 weeks. Most believe that 70 weeks of years. And I said that everything's been fulfilled there up through the 69th week, and that we're now in the 7th week, which is elastic. And I told you why, because the number 7 is used in the Bible symbolically a lot. And I don't know how long that number 7, that 7 years in which we're living. Now, there are some Bible believers who believe that the clock stopped at the coming of Jesus, or at the stopping of the sacrifice that's mentioned in Daniel, and that we are living in kind of a place where time stands still that is called the time of the Gentiles. And then when, and some prophecy teachers teach that when the Jews return to Israel, that was the beginning of the clock starting again, and we're in the 7 years, however you interpret that. I understand that, but I don't think that's true. I simply want to say that those 7 years are elastic, and nobody knows. And if you were listening yesterday, I quoted a very good source, Jesus, Matthew 24:36, where he says, "You don't know, the angels don't know, and I don't even know in my incarnational state. So, trust God and let the devil take the hindmost." And that brings me to the final comment on the book of Daniel. I want you to, if you will, look at the very last verse in the book of Daniel, the 13th verse of the 12th chapter of Daniel. "But go your way till the end, and you shall rest, and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days." I love that verse. God has just described to Daniel some cataclysmic changes, frightening in their proportions. Daniel has just seen the heavens open up and the future revealed. He's had a vision of God that is so awesome that if he wasn't left trembling, there was something wrong with him. And then he was saying, "Woo, what am I going to do?" And then God says, "Daniel, go your way till the end, and you shall rest, and shall stand in your allotted place." And we know now that's in heaven, at the end of days. Go about your business. Be cool. When it's all happened, you'll be in your allotted place. Is that good or what? I like that. One time a lady asked John Wesley what he would do if he knew that he was going to die at midnight the next day. Let me give you his answer. Why, madam, just as I intend to spend it now, I would preach this evening at Gloucester, and again at 5 tomorrow morning. After that, I would ride to Tewkesbury, preach in the afternoon, meet the societies in the evening. I would then go to Wren Matten's house, who expects to entertain me, talk and pray with the family as usual, retire to my room at 10 o'clock, commend myself to my Heavenly Father, lay down to rest, and wake up in glory. Thus endeth the teaching on Daniel. Now, just go to the next book. We're going to look at the prophet Hosea. And I want you to know this may be, well, it's not my favorite, but it's one of my two or three favorite books in the Old Testament, because it's built around a story that is so filled with the good news of God's love that sometimes I can hardly stand it. Now, we've said this a number of times. The Hebrew Bible is divided into three sections. Are you taking notes? There's the law. Those are the first five books of the Bible. Torah, the prophets, that's eight books. The writings, 11 books. Now, in the Hebrew Bible, under the section titled the prophets, there are two sections, the former prophets and the latter prophets. The former, listen, this could change your life. Listen up. The former prophets sections contains four books, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. And the latter prophets contain four books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and a book called the 12. Hosea is the first prophet in the last book of the 12, the first of the 12. Now, in the English Bible, there are three sections, historical, poetic, and historical books are 17 books, poetic, 5 books, and prophetical books that are 17 books. Under the prophetic books, there are two sections. The first is titled Major Prophets, and that's not because they were smarter or better looking or more profound or more true in what they said, but they contain Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And under the Minor Prophets, there are 12 books. Hosea is the first of the Minor Prophets. Frankly, we don't know much about the prophet Hosea. We know that he was a prophet of the northern kingdom. We know that he was the son of Beeri and that he prophesied during the closing days of Jeroboam II, the north, and that the time of his prophetic work, at the time of his prophetic work, he was a contemporary of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah in the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, we know that his ministry lasted for about 30 years from 752 B.C. to circa, that means around, 722 B.C. That makes Hosea contemporary of the prophet Isaiah, and it makes his ministry follow closely on the ministry of the prophet Amos. Now, when we get to Amos, we're going to talk a lot about Amos, but in order to help you understand the book of the prophet Hosea, I'm going to start today, and tomorrow I'm going to compare Amos with Hosea. If you want a key passage in Amos, and we get to it, we'll talk about it a lot more. It's from Amos 5, 18 through 24. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It's darkness and not light. If a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned with his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him, is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feast, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies, even though you offer me your burnt, and, you know, you get the idea. That's Amos. He's not the guy you invite to a ladies' aid dinner party. Now, let me tell you something about Amos, and we'll see it in more detail, as I said later on. Amos was a prophet during the reign of Jeroboam II, just as was Hosea. Both prophets spoke of judgment to the northern kingdom of Israel, which fell in 722. But that's where the similarity comes to an end. Let me give you the first of these, and I've got two or three of them, and I'll give you some more tomorrow. First, Amos lived in the south, that's in Judah, and he spoke to the north. That's safe. Hosea lived in the north, and he spoke to the North. Have I told you about Will Campbell? Will Campbell was on the staff of the National Council of Churches during the Civil Rights Movement. And he came from the North to help the benighted South. But he was, by birth, a Southerner. And then he realized, I am making no impact whatsoever. And he resigned from the staff of the National Council of Churches, and he reached out to the Southerners that he knew on both sides, the Ku Klux Klan, the White Citizens Council, the Black Power groups, and made a tremendous and an awesome impact. In that sense, Will Campbell was a little bit like Hosea and not like Amos. As you guys know, I travel around a lot. I get into churches one day, maybe 2 days, maybe 3 days, and then I come home. I can say all kinds of radical, strong, judgmental things. But I'll tell you something, the pastor's got to stay there. And God likes the pastor a lot better than he likes me. You think about that. I'm in. Hey, listen, if you don't have the summer magazine, I'd love to send it to you. We focus on grace, freedom, holiness, and the law. I wrote a piece called The Law, God's Gateway to Freedom. Brian Chappell's piece, The Power of Joy, you're going to love. And the magazine includes a question and an answer column. My itinerary is there. A lot of great resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. It's free, and we'll send it to you as long as supplies last. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or write Key Life Post Office Box, 5000 Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada Post Office Box, 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address and ask for the magazine. It is free, but if you could help us financially, I sure would appreciate it. Not many people who are ministered to by this ministry are able to help us financially, so you help a bunch of others. Pray about it and be as generous as you can, and I promise we'll be faithful with your gift. You can charge it on your MasterCard Visa Discover card, and for any gift of any size when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching Mercy's Freedom. Hey, listen, I've got to go, but before I go, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Networks.